You're listening to The Osiris Munir Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, all my looms, all my luminaries out there. I hope you're working at and staying happy, peaceful, sound in mind and body, although things may be hitting the fan. And when I tell you, this retrograde has been an absolute knocker. You know, it's been a lot. So shout out to all of those out there who choose love over chaos. Let's get right into it. Let's thank our sponsor, Kevin Pike, Senior Real Estate and Probate Specialist, Coldwell Banker, 818-571-1508. He will take care of all of your real estate needs with that little cute face. And again, welcome back to the show, everyone. Want to say a special shout out to East Side Radio in Sydney, Australia. You guys, the staff there and the people that run the place are doing a wonderful job. So I got a little birdie that you guys are really hot over there. So I want to push you some and say shout out to you and keep up the good work. Today, we travel to other countries every once in a while. And today, we find that some of those countries reside right here in the U.S. Today, our country of choice is the beautiful country of Nigeria. Our guest, singer, songwriter, thespian, chanter, and percussionist. Her music described as Afrocentric and cosmopolitan, that's cosmopolitan with a K, offers a deep, rich, and soulful atmospheric traditional sound of Nigeria, the Yoruba tradition, and the global sounds. Welcome to the show. Ede Lua. This is her name. And we had a little bit of for those that are actually from the country of Africa, I'm sure that you will have patience with us Americans as we try to speak other languages outside of English. I'm sorry about that, but I do my best to live up to what the name's supposed to sound like. Hey, baby, how you doing today?
I am blessed. I'm good.
Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you. And I'm happy to be here on the show. Thank you, my sister. That's what I love to call you.
We connected right away. So it's wonderful when I meet those people that are on my path and we're on each other's path. So let's get right into the questions. You established your footprint in the mid-2000s in Nigeria with the theater troupe, Black Image. And in 2005, you released your debut album, I believe it was called, producing with Kayode Samuel. How much have you grown outside since that start of the initial footprint?
Oh, wow. I would tell you I've grown so well. Initially, I am just a talented young lady that really don't really have a focus. But fast forward to 2026, I have been able to get my band together. I've been able to tour Bay Area, and in here in California, and I've been able to host my own event and my own concert. That's how confident I have become. And I'm grateful. That's why the name Eledua means everything. God is involved in everything I do. So wow. I've evolved with time.
Mm-hmm. And also, you know, the fact that as beings on the planet, we have to be open to receiving those spiritual things when those things come to us. Some people, believe it or not, ignore their intuition. They ignore that presence within themselves that is supposed to take the lead. We don't know what we're doing. We're using earth wisdom. You know, and in my practice, we have an eye of the Buddha or somebody enlightened. For you guys that, you know, that aren't Buddhist out there, and she's definitely talking about what she believes in. So I know that in the African diaspora, there are a lot of talent that come out. You're one of the talent. And I want to know globally, like, how is it these days? I know you had Mr. DJ 2022. And I want to know, how do you pronounce it? Is it Surulere or Surulere?
Surulere.
Surulere.
Yeah.
Surulere.
Surulere.
Yes, Sue. In April 25, and you had Jangbala. Is that how you say it?
Oh.
Jangbala Tipa Tipa. Is
that? Yeah.
And you had a promotional impact. What keeps you pumped up after these things are happening? You know how people go, and if you're like me as an artist, oh, yeah, well, I did that, but what else am I going to do? You know, oh, I did that, but I can do more. What else can I do? You know, so what kind of impact has Africa and the African diaspora had on global music with rhythms and sounds? I think it's doing a lot without saying so much.
Yeah, it's doing a whole lot. And I would say thank God, or thanks to the internet, where we can marry both. Everybody can view the culture. Everybody can view how it's happening. And revolving back to 2026, where we have people that can literally have access to global music.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel the internet have really helped a lot. And for people to see the diversity of different kind of sound that are out there. I have been greatly influenced by the fact that when I started as a TSPN. And it has really helped me to groom myself and prepare me for the future of coming down here and marrying my kind of music to the audience, and it's been accepted. I remember when I was performing on stage in one of my tours, and someone came to me, I think the person was from LA, came to watch the show, and said to me, I said, wow, you remind me of James Brown. No, because there's a way, can you imagine? Way back then, so you can see the connection where music literally just connect and bring reminder to the minds of all the people that are connected with your kind of music.
And also when I push online. Mm. A lot of America, I know, and I'm saying this out loud, a lot of the celebrities that I see online, a lot of people that are supposed to have the power and be in a position to help influence worldwide things, they have a very narrow viewpoint of things.
Yes.
And that's what I've experienced. That's been my experience. I'm a very kind of broad-minded person. So my curiosity has taken me into all of these different types of living, lifestyles, etc. And I noticed that whenever I do hear African music, which is quite frequently going for everything from Amapondo to the African Nation, to all the little kids that are working with Shakira, the ghetto kids, all of those things, they have a particular vibration that they bring to sound and to rhythm. And it's so soothing to the spirit.
Yes.
I've never heard an African song or rhythm or sound that makes me feel like taking up arms. Whenever I hear this, and it's just so
smooth.
You can feel the spirit and the soothing in the music itself. And where do you think that comes from? What is your belief in how you're able to give that to us, even though you're way over in another country or they are way over in another country?
You know, they always say this word that they say, music is a food to the soul. So we as human, there's something that music does to our spirit. So for us to be able to connect with such voices, such sound, there's something that is already embedded in us. So whenever you hear that sound, that's what will awaken that spirit of to build that sound, to heal, to build. Like one of my performances when I first came to United States, when I moved down here in 2017, and I was in a restaurant and a band was playing, and I know I can sing. And they pulled me up out of the crowd and I held the mic and I sang. And after the performance, one of the audience came out to me and said, your voice can wake up a dead soul.
Wow.
So I see she connected with it. And I was just freestyling. And I was just being me. So that's how powerful music is. So yes. For it to connect with you, you already God. I mean, I always mention God. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm not sorry, but I'm. I know my foundation has always been on God, being an orphan growing up. You know, so my how I got to where I got to has been God. So I always mention that. So there's a way that the creator have already embedded into us what music can do. Music can heal. Music can connect to your soul. Even to those parts of your body that you think music cannot heal, if you allow it, music will heal your soul. That's mm-hmm. how connective music is to humanity.
And not only that, speaking of that resonance, I want to explain to you guys, when you say things like what you believe in, understand there are people in the world that are deaf. They can't hear.
Yeah.
There are people that are blind.
Yeah.
They can't see.
Yeah.
So when we speak of spirit, one reason I'm a Buddhist is because I need to reach those kind of people.
Yes.
And they maybe can't go to no church. Mm-hmm. They can't go and hear the word of the gospel.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
They can hear sound. They can hear Louder. Sound. They Louder. Can hear rhythm.
Come on.
They may not know words, but they can hear and feel. That's what we're touching. Mm-hmm. I'm not touching man-made concepts mm-hmm. about mm-hmm. what is supposed to be. I'm telling you how a human being functions.
Yes.
As a human being.
Yes.
People that live across the world, everybody are not Christian.
Mm-mm.
Everyone's not a Buddhist.
Mm-mm.
Everyone's not a this. But when it comes to sound and rhythm,
yeah.
we lose all of the lines, all of the boundaries, all mm-hmm. of the barriers, they all mm-hmm. move because
yes.
it's sound
yes.
and rhythm versus
yes.
someone saying something.
Yes.
You feel it. You can feel it for yourself. Even if you're deaf and dumb laying over there somewhere, who knows?
Yes.
You know, even animals can feel it.
Oh,
even plants can feel it.
Yes. Yes. That's the power
That's
of
what she's talking about.
That's what I'm talking about.
Mm. That feeling. Mm. And so I know that you, in February of this year, speaking of 2026,
yes,
you came out with your single, California Love.
Yes.
And you went more into ballad versus your usual, you know, the feeling that vigor, that spice that we have. And you know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're
you know. You went more into really the ballad. Why did you decide to do that particular single as a ballad versus that other
single? I'm a versatile person that I'm still discovering my heart. I am an epitome of art itself. Mm-hmm. I can sing, I can act, and I can dance.
That's
so however it comes to me, I let it out. That particular song was inspired by Tupac. May so rest in peace. Yes. And that's why I titled it California Love. There's a story behind it.
What's the
way
story?
Way before I came to the U.S., maybe months before, I felt as I was so sick. I was so ill. And I was laying down in my room, my bed, and I heard this voice from nowhere.
California.
I didn't want to sing it because it felt like I was
in the city.
Yeah. So from nowhere. I'm like, where is this? I didn't even know I was coming down to California. So fast forward, I was in the plane and I was sleeping off. And I think the pilot said, welcome to San Francisco Airport, la, 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 la. In my sleep, I have that song again. Da, 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 da. Right. And I was like, and I woke up, I said, hey, God, I know you're real. You must be kidding me. What's this song about California love? I'm not here to look for love. So that hit it. Then fast forward 3 months into this, I met my husband. And before then, I've met different kind of people who have accepted me in Oakland, who showed me love. I don't yes. know nobody who showed me love, who showed me so much love that I cannot start counting. I will mention Patnisha Ali Williams, a Black American girl who saw me singing and said to me, "I love your voice. If you ever need anything, make sure you call me." And at a point when I needed something, I called her. She was one of the people that made me have a voice today where I can discover
myself. She delivered.
Yes.
She delivered. She did what she said she was going to. That's the kind of people we want to know.
So those are the songs. This song is spiritual. I mean, is it literally saying, that's why I said, born in Oakland, bred in Oakland, brought up in Oakland. Born in Oakland, bred in Oakland, brought up in Oakland, California love, California love. So, see you, sister. So, this song is literally dedicated to these people who showed me love, who were born in Oakland, who were raised in Oakland, who were brought up in Oakland, and I was accepting. The acceptance made me, this gift came out of me. So they brought that talent out of me, and that's why I was able to sing that song in ballad.
And what makes you unique as a talent is that you are Nigerian.
Yes.
That's what makes you unique. You don't sound like the regular run of the mill. You know, I remember I was telling somebody the other day, we were talking about you. And I remember when I was young, it wasn't popular to be different.
If you
didn't fit the mold, you got talked about. That's how I can know people to turn the past, because the new world, we don't think like that. Like the more different and unique you are, the more we want to have you. You know, the more you can give, the more we want to see what you got. And you did a really good thing by bringing those, acknowledging those people. Now, when you were in San Francisco, you know, and I love that you can go from this to this California, lush, sensual, like Tella, baby. That's what I'm talking about. So I want to know, when you performed, I think you performed at SFMOMA, which is San Francisco Museum of Modern Art.
Yeah.
And the Umoja Festival.
Yes.
The Richmond Heights Festival.
Yes.
Along with the Nakan and the Faraja.
Faraya Band. Yes.
What was that like? I mean, you came from, okay, I'm inspired now. Now I'm going to take it to the streets.
Yeah. Ooh.
What was that like? And then I want to talk about the languages that you put into your work. So what was that like doing those festivals and being really out there like that in America?
Yeah. I just, like you said, it doesn't take much to be yourself. And also, I always want to be me. I remember singing one of my song, Brother, and the first take I did, I sounded so much like Angela Kidjo. I sounded so much like her. And my producer went and listened to it and said, no, you can't be her. She's already who she is. So he turned it back into the studio and said, go do you. So I went back and I did me. So because I am just me, doing me, and it's different, so people want to see who Nkan is and want to have a taste of what Nkan is right here in America. And like I said, I have taught over 100 shows in the space of me coming from Nigeria to the Bay Area. I have taught the Bay Area and I performed in so many places, so people want to see more of me, because when I do this show, it's different from what I'm going to bring to you in the next show.
Wow. So now, when you perform, what were your family, are there, did you get anything from your parents that gave you this talent, or did you just wake up one day and say, look, I'm talented and I'm gonna say something and do something about it? What happened?
Well, I know there's always a connection somewhere. This was my dad. I realized when I was a child, I growing up now, I realized what my dad was doing was building me up. I never knew that. He invited his friends to come look at me perform, sing to his friends. They sit down in the living room. We have a big living room. Sit down in the living room. There's a little curtain they put together. And I'll go, like, that's my, like, a backstage. If we're calling back now, I can call it, like, my backstage. So I go to the backstage, and he plays the likes of the King Sonia Day music, Ebenezer Obey music. He plays the likes of Comfort Omoge music. Those are legends in Nigeria. Plays their music. And I'll go behind the curtain, and I'll dance out from the curtain, and there's a particular dance step that my dad does, that I mimic him a lot. So I do the dance step, and at the end of it, and I bow down. And everybody clap, but I am a good dancer. I am a beautiful, beautiful dancer. So
I saw you moving it.
So after that, you see him clapping. Then I recall the moment where, before he passed away, I saw him in a group, him and his group in somewhere, and I said, "Oh, Dad, what picture is that?" He said, "Oh, that was his band members." So he said that was his band members that he used to be in a band, and they are called the Beautiful Band something something. I said, I never knew that. Asking that question kind of bring back my memory of, oh, Dad was involved in music. My dad was a talented, talented dancer. Oh, he was a good dancer. And I never knew a thing, but recalling back on that question that I asked him over 30, 40 years ago, knowing that, oh, my dad was part of a band. He said he was singing a tenor. I think it was a tenor singer. So I think I got that from my dad.
Wow. Well, there you, it does after, it does come from somewhere. It does come through one of the parents.
Yes.
And it's funny how it hits.
Yes.
How that selection hits one of the kids.
Yes.
Like, okay, which one's going to, some case, all of them, but in your case, one of the kids. So let's go back to your making use of your multilingual skills in your sound. So you speak Pidgin.
Yes.
Pidgin. Is it Oruba or Yoruba?
Yoruba.
Yoruba.
Yeah.
And you speak English.
Yes.
And probably want some of the other languages that we don't know over here.
Absolutely.
How are you able to blend all of those different energies from all of your ancestral background into one solid person that we know is Nakan?
Yeah. I would say, I was talking to someone this morning, and I said foundation really matters. My father laid a foundation where I went to a very good school as a child. Okay. I went to a boarding school, and growing up, I discovered myself. I found myself in a theater heart where I have to learn some certain languages. And when I want to perform, when I want to act, when I want to dance, when I want to be the lead vocalist and in a Sarafina like kind of theater presentation. So I learned to, and I live among, and growing up in Lagos as well influenced me, influenced my way of combining my music as well, because you live with different diverse cultural people where they speak different languages, Igbos, Yoruba, Hausa, Ibibio, all those languages. And I grew up in Lagos. And when you grow up in Lagos, it's like living in San Francisco or living in New York, where you have different, or living in Oakland, diverse culture and tribes living together. So those kind of influenced me, and my theater background also helped a lot. That's where I built myself.
Now let's talk a little bit about the theater background.
Yeah.
Bring me and us up to speed about you're doing theater still, and you're singing separately, or you're doing both of them still, or you're just singing right now. What talent are you exhibiting now?
Yeah, I'm exhibiting my act right now, Unkon, which is a performing and recording artist.
Okay.
Yes.
And what is that like for those of us who have never heard of that? What is that like working with a band versus doing your own solo career?
Working with a band, I would say it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. But as long as you are disciplined and you know the people that you're working with, and I would say these guys have been with me, my band members have been with me for 8 years that I've been in this country.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we discovered ourselves.
Family.
Yeah, we just covered ourselves. Anytime I call them, they know. Versus performing on my own solo ability, I can do it. But I always want to let other people shine along with me. So that's the spirit behind my forming a band. Like, yeah, I know I can be a solo performer and do it all alone and all that. But I always want to touch other people's life or so and let them shine.
And what are some of the, I know you guys have done the festival. Then when you do the festivals, are you performing alone in some cases with the band or by yourself or both?
Yeah, I've done several ones that I've done solo myself, and I've done some depending on the payments as well. You know, sometimes some people say, "Oh, Kimmy, oh, Unkon, this is what we need, blah 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 blah. This is our budget." I always like to work with other people's budget as well.
Okay,
yeah.
So you're really, really good. Now, do you ever get to go? There was another question I want to ask first. Do you miss being in Nigeria? Do you find the same kind of issues that could have blocked you in the United States that you found in Nigeria, or did they go away when you decided that you were just going to step into your power?
I will say I was becoming very popular in Nigeria at a point as well before I lost my younger sister. And I have to be responsible for our children. So I would say coming here has been a great avenue where I don't have other responsibility to put me back. You know, like I was able to discover and do more of myself. But way back in Nigeria, I was involved with family that didn't give me chance to involved the way I wanted to.
Right.
So there's a two different thing, because when I'm in Nigeria, I was involving until I have a loss in the family and I have to be responsible for their children. So it's a different storyline entirely. So, but I'm grateful that I was able to make it here, discover love, found love, and I'm still doing what I'm doing. And I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure when I go back to Nigeria, I'm an international artist.
You're very popular. I did some research on you. I know who I'm talking to. I know that you were influenced a great deal by Angelique Kidjo, who's touring right now, and Miriam Makeba.
Those of
you that are children, go back and look up Miriam Makeba, honey. Girlfriend.
Yes. Yes.
She was doing it way back in the day.
Yes.
And I know that's been some of your influence. Who are some of the modern African artist that you feel like that's a 10, that's an up and coming, that's I don't know, you know, and also people that look to you for support?
Yeah, I would say there are a couple of them. I would say Yemi Alade, who is very original with
Yemi.
You've interviewed her before. Yemi Alade. Yemi Alade. She was called the queen of African song or something. I don't know. Yeah. Yemi Alade. And I would say for modern generation and for the new generation, I would say Yemi Alade. I would say Asha. I will also mention Aduke. She's coming up right now and she is so good.
Check her out.
Yeah, she is so good. So I contacted her and I said, "Hey, I like your originality. Let's do something together." Because I love it when you're so original and you're not trying to be someone else and you're just yourself.
Is it easier to, I mean, are you do you really, or other artists that you work with, do you all want to stay as independent artists, or are you looking forward to getting a label, getting representation? Is that still a big dream of artists out there, or you think it's changed because of TikTok and because of the
internet? I think it's changed. If the opportunity comes, I would like to check it out to see what's on the table. If it's okay with me, I would go with it. But it's in a different era entirely right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be a great influence if you find a label, a recording label that really really helped it out and make it easier for you and also make it easier for them, because there's something coming in for both of us. And also, I would say there's a lot of people that have been discovered through social media, through TikTok, like you mentioned. So, and some of them feels, why would I need a record label if I can do it myself? Yeah.
I don't, I'm coming from the old school frame, but I understand the new one too. And all I can say about, if you don't know what you're doing, you can exhaust a lot of your own money and time because you don't know what you're doing.
Yes.
So the thing that, the only reason the labels were able to do things and help artists is because the artists didn't have the world perception that a label has. A label can take you into places you can't take
that
yourself.
You can never get to.
A label can give you backing that you can't get yourself. But at the same time, if you're not smart enough to run the label and not let the label or record, you know, run you, you're going to be in trouble.
Absolutely.
So the best thing is to have your own brain on your head and to go in there like, this is a partnership. You don't run me. I don't run you. We work together because the goal is to get me out.
Yeah.
That's what you want to do. And a lot of the labels were not doing that. And a lot of the artists didn't have the common sense.
Yeah. At that time.
It was money.
At that
time. They didn't see. Yeah. So they didn't see it. But I'm glad that you are prepared. And like you said, if it comes along, you'd be open to it.
Yes.
I want to also, how has TikTok, YouTube, and your own live performances, how have they shaped who you are? I mean, in terms of where you are now, I know when you started, you probably couldn't see as far ahead as you are presently.
Yes.
But what pushed you to do that? Was it your drive? Was it things that happened in your environment that pushed you to say, I'm going to do this. I don't care. I'm going to do it. Tell us about that journey.
Yeah. One thing I will say first is that when you have talent, sometimes I'll give up. I was like, I am not going to sing anymore. But I cannot hide it. Honestly, I can't hide it. If I go to any church to worship, just to hide myself, you hear somebody from the audience say, hey, girl, I like your voice. You should be on that. You should be on the altar singing right now. And I'll run away from the church. Because I started on the church's world too. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I sang. I was a
We all did. Girl. Yeah, I did.
I was an head. And I was a choir, head of choir and all that. But I just don't want to do music and all that. Then I realized that it is just in me. I cannot hide it. In my place of work, they all know me. The singing girl. That's what they call me. The singing girl, the singing CNA, the singing nurses, the singer that where from every stage that I went to in my job, that's what they call me. So I realized that this is something I cannot, it's bigger than me.
Yeah, you're being called.
Yeah, it's Unkon wants to express herself. That's why the fact that Kemi that is carrying Unkon, different two personalities, have her own life to live, but Unkon wants to shine. Unkon wants to have a voice heard. Nkon wants to make sure that everything goes the way she wanted it. So Kemi have to play along in that line, even when Kemi have to work 16 hours sometimes.
Mm-hmm. I know what you mean. I'm an artist. I didn't go to bed. You guys see me up here.
Yeah.
Most of the time, I've only had like 2 hours sleep or 3 hours sleep and pushing it. Because, you know, having guests like this drives me to, I don't care if I'm tired, I'm going to do the show. You know, I don't care if I'm this, I'm going to do this. You know, but what the other thing I want to ask you is, you said your father influenced you. Was your father a musician himself? How did he influence you? Did he just encourage you or he actually showed you a thing or two about a thing or two?
I didn't really spend much time with my dad. I spent just, I would say, a decade of my life with him before he passed away.
Okay.
I'm sure he would have showed me so much. I was just an inquisitive child. That was why I asked questions a lot. I always ask questions. I saw a picture. I asked him questions. And he mentioned the statement that stood by me was, oh, that was my band members. The group picture that you heard, he was a member of a beautiful dance and also beautiful cultural band or something. Beautiful is a traditional local music from Ondo State, from Ikale, the Ikale people. And with gathering all those information and him encouraging me, knowing that I have the talent, so I knew He was into music. He was doing something. So his influence of encouraging me, I remember, when I was performing at the Most Beautiful Girl in Nigeria, one of the biggest shows in Nigeria then, when I was performing, and I was performing to over 20,000 guests, and after my performance, I just said, thank you. I bow down. And I remember the picture of me doing that in the presence of my dad with us came to picture. At that moment, I was the only one that can experience what I was experiencing. So I bowed down and everybody was yelling and clapping. But all I did was just about, and made it the picture of my dad helping me out to bow down to his friends after my performance in the little room that we have. And that kind of shows a lot that he has a lot of influence in my musical career. Even despite the fact that I only spent 6 years or 10 years of my life with him. Yeah.
Wow. I don't think people understand how difficult it is to come from other countries and speak other languages and then have to adopt to America. It's like really, I just find it interesting, and probably because I've traveled to a great degree, I've seen many, many different lifestyles, and then had to come back to America. Yeah. You know, and see like, wow, there is a huge difference in growth. And then America's a really big country. Mm. So it takes some time for things to filter down to us, for things to change. Because you're going through a big old country that takes a while in order for us to get certain information, even with the internet, you know, and how things spread.
Yes.
I want to ask you, at what point in your life, wait a minute, let me rephrase that. At one point in your life, did you know that you had to do this? Like you say, you were in church or whatever. When did you really push to say, okay, I'm going to be an entertainer and that's what I'm going to do, and then start putting together the band, you know, putting together your songs and things like that, because you don't have a label or anybody, you're pushing yourself. How did that all come about? How did you get to the band and all of that?
You know, I always laugh at the end of your question, because I think life just orchestrates. I mean, life just happened on its own, and there's something about destiny that you know where you're going, but you don't know how to get there. You have the feel of what you. When I was in college, way back in Nigeria, I went to one of the most popular actor in Nigeria. I came back home for my holiday and I went into his office. I'll mention his name. He's very popular. Mofe Damijo. Mofe Damijo. I went to his office on Stone Street. And I said, I want to be an artist. I want to be an actor. And he was eating his favorite meal there, I think. So it was in the beans and some plantain. And so I could cover that. And I was barely 18 or 17 or thereabout, and I went into his office and he smiled at me and said, you want to be an artist? I don't own a production office. And I was like, I felt bad, I felt hurt, I felt so bad at that time, like, he doesn't see what I have and all that. Well, so I moved on. I went back to school, I came back again, and I was going to my boyfriend's place at that time. I was going to look for him at his auntie's place, and I saw this billboard on the road that says artists are needed. So I said, artists are needed. So I said, well, let's give it a try. I went in there, and that's how I became a member of the Black Image Members, the cultural theater company. And 2 weeks, and I look at the way they were dancing so, oh my God, so energetic. So I'm talking about children of 16, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 years. Young, yeah. So they were young children and they were dancing, sweating. And I looked at them and I was so proud of myself. I was like, I can beat this girl. I can beat this girl dancing in a few seconds. I didn't even know their dance, but the way they were, I was like, I can beat them in a few seconds. That's a child, you know? So I went in there and the instructor saw me and said, what can you do? Show us what you can do. I said, well, I did my dance. I said, He said, He said, okay, I give you 2 weeks to learn this dance that you're doing. If you don't do it in 2 weeks, you're not part of this group. So in 2 weeks, I was in college. I came back. I traveled from the north back to the west. So I had 2 weeks, and I have 2 weeks to get back to school. So in that 2 weeks, I make sure I was present on that time, and I did my dances. I did the dances under 1 week. I learned all the dance, and these are energetic, very energetic contemporary dance. We're mixed with bata and Western dance. So those are really like so energetic. So I did it in 1 week, and the guy, the instructor was like, how did you do that? People learn this for months. How did you do that? So I think there's something pushing me.
You had it.
Yeah.
You have the it factor.
Yeah.
You guys say you got it, you got it, you had it.
Yeah. So at a point, before I know it, fast forward, I became the face of the company.
Oh.
While I'm still in school. When I get back from school, I will come, we'll go tour the show, we go around Lagos, we're doing performances. And before I know it, anytime I come back, they offer me a job. When I finish from school, they offer me a job to be a marketing executive in the cultural company, in the theater company. So I became, I got good mouth and I can sell. I'm a marketing executive.
That's right.
So I got the job. So after finishing school, I couldn't find a place to do my IT. I went back to them, and I would walk in the office, and I would still same time come back to the stage to act. So with all those, they were building me up. I never knew they were building me up for today. Mm-hmm. So that was where the influences came in from. That's how I discovered. I said, okay, I'm going to be doing this. At a point, I said, okay, do I really want to do this? But that talent won't let me rest. That talent will keep telling me, yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Yeah.
So I became the face of the company. I became the face of the theater company on performances. I made them thousands, millions. And while I was an executive in that company, I rose to the general manager at the point of the company, in the theater company. I rose to the general manager. Then life happens, everything fall apart, and I found myself here, and also that things keep pitching, that spirits keep pushing and say, I need to showcase myself. I need to showcase myself. So I joined this band when I met my husband, he encouraged me. I joined this band, and this band doesn't have rehearsals. Mm-hmm. And they will give me a mic to me. I should sing on the beat that I don't even understand. I just stand there, I form my own song right on spot, and I'll be performing.
Yeah.
That's how much that theater company has influenced my life, and Nkon was ready to showcase himself. The band manager said to himself and said, Kemi can sing, Nkon can sing on any beat. Give it to her, and she will develop. I might not know the lyrics of the song, but I'll come up with my own lyrics, and I will just do it. So that is how much the talent in me want to showcase himself.
Yeah, that's the inner drive. Yes. That's the inner drive that people try to take from other people that naturally have it. Mm. It's like you're compelled to do something. You can't help yourself.
Yeah.
Something is pushed. It's like you have a mission.
Yeah.
And for you as well, there cannot be any distractions. Even if people try to stop you,
Oh,
it will get plowed down. When people are called to do something, they're called to do it. And all you can do is say either support them or get out of the way.
Yeah.
That's what I've learned. It's like an inner voice that you cannot not listen to. It will push you. Wake you up at 3 a.m, make you go to bed at 4. You gotta do this. So we are at the end of time. I want you, before you go, I want you to tell us all of your social media information, where we can find out more about you and the Nkon. Faraya band. And also where you're going to be performing, all about your background and your history. Go.
Yes, ma'am. So firstly, I would say check me out on my website, nkan.world. It's so easy, nkan.world. WORLD, nkan.world. You'll find every information and every details in there. My social media handle, YouTube, is Nkan Music, NKAN Music. Mm-hmm. Facebook is Nkan Eledua. Nkan is
Eledua.
Eledua. Break it into syllables.
Eledua.
Eledua.
Oh, Ele, I said a day. Eledua.
Yes.
I love that, you know, we're not around enough language to really perfect it.
Yes.
And I speak Spanish, so I've been working at perfecting my Spanish too. So
thank
now
you.
I have to go like, okay, I got to think of the, you know, the other part to get that part together.
So let me spell that for you. N-K-A-N. Mm-hmm. Eledua is E-L-E-D-U-A.
Okay.
On Instagram, official Uncan, official N-K-A-N. And on TikTok, Uncan Music. On X, Uncan, N-K-A-N. So you'll find me anywhere. My music is played on every streaming platform.
She's everywhere, all over the world.
All everywhere. Over. Everywhere on Pandora, Google everywhere.
Name. Oh my gosh, this has been so wonderful. As for me, I want to give a shout out to Sam Hassan, LA Talk Radio. Thank you for doing your thing every week and for helping me make our show bright and shiny. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you.
Shout out to all of you out there, my fans, my luminaries, including this one. Thank you so much for supporting me. Many of you know me many years, so you know I've gone through quite a bit to get here. So thank you for being there with me and for helping to bring my shine more to the surface as time goes by. Also, don't forget that I loke you. I like you for being like this girl is, this woman who is treasures herself, loves herself, pushes herself every day, the same that we do to survive and to stay true to yourself no matter what's happening in your environment or in your mm-hmm. personal circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And I love you and like you, loke. For just being who you are, just staying, you know, being, getting up in the morning and showing up, getting up yes. in the morning and doing your thing, not letting parents, friends, negative influences distract you from your path and from what yeah. you are here to do. I appreciate that about you. If you want to know more about me, just go online, Osiris_Munir_the painter. I'm everywhere all over the place all at the same time. I'm that crazy. Okay. I can be everywhere all over the place all at the same time. So do that. And then other than that, I want you to don't forget to smile. It works wonders. And it does influence a lot of life when you smile. Do you have anything else you want to say, baby girl, before we go?
Yeah, I just want to say, kindly go listen to my latest song, California Love by N-K-A-N. And thank you all so much. And thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, you are so welcome. And don't forget to support your independent artist. Don't forget, every time you move your booty and you groove your hand and you shake your head, don't forget they need your support. We need your support, which is why we got to like, share, and subscribe to our channel. You want to give us a note while we're on the way out? Let's go.
Born in Oakland, brought in Oakland, brought up in Oakland. Born in Oakland, brought in Oakland, brought up in Oakland. Born in Oakland, brought in Oakland, brought up in Oakland. California love, California love. California love.
Bye, everybody. Don't forget to give some California love.
Thank
you. You're listening to The Osiris Munir Show, only on LA Talk Radio.